That's what I call the human factor. How do we connect human to human without the technology? Nobody came for your PowerPoint slides. Nobody came to see the technology or the poll. They came to hear the message. And in the end, you are the message. And that's the connection.
Success isn't just about what you achieve. It's about living a life that reflects your values and priorities. Welcome to Engineer Your Success, the podcast that helps you lead with intention and live fulfilled.
Leadership comes with high expectations, too many responsibilities, too little time, and the constant pressure to keep up. If you're feeling stretched thin, you're not alone. At Engineer Your Success, we help leaders take back control so that they can lead with confidence, delegate effectively, and stop running on empty. You don't have to choose between success and sanity. Let's build a leadership plan that works for you. Visit engineeryoursuccessnow.com today, because thriving isn't just for others, it's for you. Welcome to the Engineer Your Success podcast. My name is Dr. James Bryan, your host. And today we are here with a return guest, Ms. Susan Young. Susan, how are you doing today?
I'm fabulous today, as I try to be every day. So thank you.
All right. So tell us, what's been going on in your world?
Yeah, you know, I run a communications training program for architects, engineers, and construction folks. It's helping with communication, doing a lot of keynote speaking and training and some online programs.
What would you say is the biggest challenge that you see AEC professionals kind of running into when it comes to communication?
It's ineffective communication. It's things they haven't learned in school as far as communication and business. It's the whole gamut of things, from being able to introduce yourself, to sharing your expertise, to doing presentations and public speaking, whether it's to three people in a conference room, 30 people in a workshop, a shortlisted meeting with stakeholders, or internal team meetings. It's about deep listening and storytelling and how to share your message in a clear, compelling way so that you not only get people's attention, but you keep their attention. It's a whole lot of things that start in the mindset, with the confidence and self-assuredness, being able to overcome those limiting self-beliefs that hold us back.
So what are some of the tools or tips you have for making that transition of mindset to have that confidence?
It really is the understanding and the self-awareness of how you can overcome this. This is a learned skill. You can develop this. And a lot of people are using excuses in engineering and architecture and in construction about, you know, I'm an introvert, I'm shy, I'm reserved, I'm an empath, what have you. And it's really, like I say, it's a skill that can be developed. And so it's time to forget the excuses and to really take a look at, and it can be painful, but it's looking at your personality and being willing to reinvent yourself. I've done it personally. If somebody would have told me 25 years ago I'd be doing this, I would have laughed in their face. I can't do this. This is just not who I am. And here I am. So it can't be done. I speak from experience.
That begs the question. So who were you?
I was a radio news reporter and a news anchor. People say you were talking to hundreds of thousands of people in the most competitive media market in the country, in New Jersey, New York, and Philly. But nobody was looking back at me. I was in a news booth the size of a phone booth or a pantry closet. There were tape decks, headphones, scripts, and all of that. The only person looking back at me through the window was the DJ waiting for me to finish my 5-minute newscast so he could go on and play some music. And so it's very, very different when you go on to a stage and there's 300 people in a ballroom, or there's 20 people at a Chamber of Commerce luncheon or a meeting or a conference. I didn't know the gestures and the movement and the smiling. I was like, tell the story, get in, get out. I had to learn how to develop my personality and to be friendly and to be able to interact with people on a higher level. And of course, I had to learn sales. I didn't go through a corporate training program like at Kodak or Pfizer or any other large company. I'm self-taught. And so it was a huge shift. But again, I'm living proof. Everything that I teach, I've done. You fall down, you step up, one step, two steps back, three steps sideways, but it's an ongoing journey. It's not like you get your college degree and you hang it on the wall and you're done. This is an ongoing thing. It's not a one-off.
You mentioned that everything you teach is stuff that you've actually been through and developed. Can you share one of your biggest failures?
It's going on to a stage and thinking that you don't know what you're doing and not having that confidence. I've taught my kids to walk into the room tall, strong, and proud. Like you belong there. You have every right to be there. And there are times, you know, at the beginning, especially when you don't feel that confidence, or maybe you feel overly confident and you don't get the same reception from the audience as when you learn to be yourself and trust yourself at that deep core level, like you know, in your mind and in your heart. And so you can't get tripped up. And I've tripped myself up many times, but the more that I do this, the fewer times it happens.
What were some of the strategies you used to build up that confidence, to have the mindset and the courage to connect with people on a deeper level from the stage?
Yeah, I think it's about having a balance of confident humility and knowing that the audience doesn't know what your next sentence is. Practicing and using templates and memorizing things doesn't help you to really connect on a human level with your audience. People who walk into a conference or a meeting room, you know, a shortlisted meeting or a public hearing, they want you to succeed. They don't want to be bored to tears. They want to hear something that's going to be compelling and that's going to get, like I said, get their attention and keep their attention. So they're rooting for you, even though they don't say it. And so we have to have that level of confidence balanced with humility, saying, I know what I'm talking about. I've studied this and this is my sweet spot. This is what I do. This is what I know. And this is the moment. And not to get rattled, but to know that you belong, that you're tall, strong, and proud, and you have every right to be there, and to be able to share your expertise in a clear, concise way so that people will connect to you because they feel like you're not reading the script, but you are being imperfectly perfect. And that is you.
You're already comfortable with the material. You're already comfortable with what you know. So what you're working on is getting comfortable connecting with your audience, because they do want to see you succeed. They can get the information from anywhere, but they can only get connection with you.
Exactly. And that's what I call the human factor. How do we connect human to human without the technology? Nobody came for your PowerPoint slides. Nobody came to see the technology or the poll. They came to hear the message. And in the end, you are the message. And that's the connection.
A lot of the strategies that we've just talked about clearly align with public speaking, whether you're talking to a really large audience or a smaller audience. But there are other forms of communication. And you mentioned this earlier, whether it's in a team meeting or email, that part of the problem that you solve is helping engineers, technical leaders, communicate effectively. So what are some other things that you've run into?
I find that it really is in the writing. I know engineers are the scientific left part of the brain, but I always say go right. You've got to marry the two parts of the brain, the right side and the left side, so that you have that sweet spot. It's not just the analytical, you know, process-oriented left side of the brain, but we want to get to the emotional side. And so you do that through your writing, through the clarity and being reader-friendly, like having a clear subject line and saying, you know, here are 3 points, and they're bullet points, so it's easy for people to read. It's not the acronym that we use on TLDR, too long didn't read, blocks of paragraphs. It's like, oh my gosh, it's so overwhelming. It's everything that I learned in journalism school and college that most people learn, even in junior high school or high school. Paragraph has to be 4 to 6 sentences. It can't start with the word but or and. You throw that out the window. That doesn't work these days. You can have one paragraph with one sentence because it breaks up the text. Use bullet points. Keep it short and simple so that it's easy to digest and understand, and keep it interesting so that you don't have 14 threads going back and forth saying, what does that mean? Or they answer a question that you didn't ask, you know, they give you information that doesn't really get to the point. And that's where, James, here's another form of communication. You pick up the phone. Get on the phone and say, let's just clear this up right now. Here's my question. If they don't give you the information that you need, you can ask another question and get clarity right there on the phone in 2 minutes versus a thread going back and forth and people getting frustrated. So with a phone call, it's easier to have that dialogue back and forth and to hear that human voice and say, hey, you know, I haven't talked to you in a while. let's get this straightened out now so that there's fewer misunderstandings, there's fewer cost overruns, and people just feel better so that you're not, you know, back, you know, butting heads there, but that it's a smooth, easy process and conversation.
So for those of you that are listening, I want you to take a second and think, who do you need to call to make that connection with? Who do you need to call to get rid of any misunderstanding? What are you trying to solve? And who do you need to connect with to do that? Susan, it's interesting when you talk about the connection. I know with anything written, I ask myself the question, what's the purpose of this communication? What do I want this to actually accomplish? If I'm thinking about an email, I can write a long email, right? So you can write a long email, but when you read back through it, what are you actually, are you trying to accomplish? And I know for myself and many of the people that are in my circle, what we'll do nowadays is write the long email and go over to ChatGPT and say, hey, shorten this for me, or put this in bullet points to get a starting point or at least a more concise version of what we're trying to communicate.
It's interesting because 2 points here, James. One is that if you don't ask quality questions, you don't get quality information. So make sure you're asking good questions. The onus is on us is asking the questions, not like, well, they didn't tell me. You have to ask better questions if you didn't get the information that you need. But to your point, really more is that when you are writing something as a news reporter, people will say to me, why should we listen to you? You were a news reporter. You're not an engineer or an architect, because we have the same traits. What you just said is the gold. Don't bury the lead.
Yeah.
That's what reporters are taught from day one. It's all in the writing. So what is the most important thing that people who are reading this have to know? And that's the critical thinking skill that ChatGPT is nice to depend on, but you don't bring that into a shortlisted meeting or a conversation. So really knowing how to edit and to pull out, you know, what do I leave in and what do I leave out? Important thing, right? Right at the beginning to grab them, keep their attention.
And what I would say is that ChatGPT or AI is not something that I would lead with. I view it as something that complements what I'm trying to do. So if I'm going to integrate it into what I'm doing, I'm starting out with the initial thoughts. I'm starting out with what I want to communicate, and I'm free flowing. And I may just actually free flow. Here are the thoughts that I have. Then I'll take that transcript and say, help me organize this, put this in bullet points. Then I can review it again, because now my jumbled thoughts are a little bit clearer. I view it as a tool to use, not necessarily a single source resource that I have to rely on, and what it spits out is going to be exactly what I need.
Yeah, I think it is a good tool at some level, and I'm not totally against it. It just doesn't replace our critical thinking skills and our creativity. You want to have your unique voice. It's like, would I say that? Would I use those words? And would my audience, and this is where market research comes in, where you ask the questions and know that instead of saying unstoppable, people say we're frustrated or we want to elevate. Because that's the words, those are the words that I know that AEC uses. They don't say, you know, we're dragging along. They say we're anxious, stressed out, or burned out. Because I know those are the exact words from the market research I've done of people in the industry. So that's where it comes to what's going on here as a human being versus the technology.
I agree wholeheartedly on that. And I think it's just understanding how to leverage all of the different tools that you have to be able to communicate your point. And getting back to written communication, part of what you were talking about is we have to ask the right questions. And I absolutely agree with that. But we also have to be clear on what we're trying to communicate. So if I'm not asking questions, but I'm trying to communicate a point, it is up to me to be able to package it in a way that the person that I'm sending this communication to will be able to do something with it.
Exactly. You want them to understand instead of throwing their hands up in frustration saying, what is this? You know, and then you go back and ask, you know, 3 questions, and then somebody else is on the thread or copied and they're getting flooded with their inbox saying, why am I even getting this? It comes back to having that clear, compelling information and that writing style where you simply just, I would say, make your point. Maybe it's because I'm from Jersey. I would say, cut the crap. What are you trying to say here? People will say to me, how long should my blog post or my article be, or how long should my video be? And I'm like, as long as you need it to be. It might be 2 minutes and 12 seconds. It might be 490 words. If you can say it in 412 words or in 1 minute, Do that. Just make your point. Make your point. Make every word count.
When you're thinking about communication, what is it that you're trying to communicate? Make every word count so that you can make your point.
Exactly.
You know how to solve tough technical problems, but leading people, that's a different challenge. Stepping into leadership means more than just knowing your stuff. It's about inspiring, communicating, and navigating challenges with confidence. At Engineer Your Success, we help technical pros like you grow into leaders who just don't manage the work, but lead the people who do. If you're ready to lead with clarity and impact, visit engineeryoursuccessnow.com today, because thriving isn't just for others, it's for you. I'm really enjoying this conversation. What are some other things that you think engineers or people that are listening to this podcast episode need to know?
Yeah, it's not just about the quality questions and asking the questions, but it's the deep listening skills. When I teach the classes and train folks, it's not active listening where you repeat people's names or about emotional intelligence. We go beyond that to the brain science, to the higher level. It's about deep listening so that you don't have these mental distractions and you're drifting and trying to look like you're paying attention and smiling, even though you're thinking, oh no, I didn't feed the dog or the car needs gas or whatever. So it's a trend called silent listening. The word silent and the word listen is an anagram. So how do you silence your mind and pay deep attention so that you have noticed the nuances that other people are missing? You pick up on every little detail, the minutia, and stakeholders, prospects, clients, and people you're networking with, they know that you're paying attention. You're listening at that deep level, that you're fully present and in that conversation, and you don't miss anything. And that brings you to being not just another vendor, but a high-level advisor. So it's the power of questions and the art of listening.
What are some things that our listeners can do to increase their deep listening skills?
Yeah, as I said, it's being able to be self-aware and quiet your mind so that you're fully present and not distracted. You realize when you're drifting. You pay attention and you have that self-awareness and think, okay, I just got lost here for a split second. You pull yourself back. People who do meditation or yoga understand this at a deeper level. And it's just hard because if you listen to me here, I talk really fast. I'm from New Jersey. So it's like my mind races too. Don't drive near me in a parking lot. I'm all over the place. I don't have attention issues. The key is to slow down. We move at such a fast pace in this chaotic world with pings on the phone and alerts, and we're flooded with information. Being able to be in the moment is much more powerful and to shut down the noise in our chaotic world.
Okay, let's walk through this scenario. I'm sitting here, I'm talking, I'm having a conversation, and my brain keeps saying, hey, what about this? Hey, what about that? So give me some in the moment tips that people can use when they find themselves in that situation.
Yeah, again, it's the self-awareness and being able to pull yourself back. One of my coaches years ago said, wherever my feet are, my head is. So I'm with you now on this podcast, James, and I'm not distracted. I'm here with you, and that's all we have. Everything right now is absolutely perfect.
So you find something there and you anchor to that thing, because sometimes we can talk about anchoring to something extract or anchoring to the ideal that I should be present. But if I'm here with my hand on the desk, I can always use that as a physical cue to remind me, this is where I am. I'm in this moment.
Yeah. And here's an example of kind of an anchor. Think about this. You're driving home on a Friday, trying to work on losing weight and getting healthy. You've been eating salad, drinking water, and going to the gym all week. So it's Friday and you're thinking, gosh, I've been so good on this health plan. I'm going to stop at that donut shop on the way home. I deserve a donut just for being really good this week. So you're thinking about the donut. You're in the car alone. This is going to be a great reward for me. And as you're driving, somebody cuts you off and almost slams into your car. And in that split second, you're not thinking about the donut anymore, but you're thinking about who's that jerk that almost hit my car. So that's how fast you can move your attention. What I do is I snap out of it. I move my attention back to that moment, back to that conversation, and that's my anchor. Snap. Okay. As fast as that donut was, is as fast as that car almost hit me.
Yeah. See, I thought you were going to say that you're on your way to get the donut, but it's not necessarily the thing that you need. So you're going to snap yourself back to healthier decisions in that moment to stop from doing that. And you can use that for something like that. But I think that's a great example. And that's what I was trying to get at, some actual practical tools or tips that people can use as they listen to this episode and have some key takeaways.
Yeah, and some people, like, I've had a rubber band on my wrist and snap it. And it's like, after a while, you know, your wrist gets really red. I've been really guilty of not paying attention or jumping the gun or whatever it is, you know, and just kind of snap out of it.
Okay. All right. I think that's a great tool. You can use it on podcast interviews. Anytime you are in a conversation and you're communicating with anyone, you can use these tips and cues to help you be in that moment, be present, so that moment has your full attention. And that fosters better connectivity to the person or people you're talking to.
Yeah. And you know, what's interesting is what this conversation reminds me of is to let the conversation unfold naturally and trust in that and know that you don't have to follow a script with the talking points written. And again, I was in radio. So we hosted 30-minute public affairs shows and I've interviewed everyone from homeless people to presidents. But when you let the conversations unfold naturally, you don't know what I'm going to say, like about a trip to Costa Rica or an interview with a president. So you're able to follow that and make the interview very interesting and compelling for people to listen to. And they appreciate that much more than you sitting here saying, what was my next question? What am I supposed to say? Nobody wants to hear that. And if you think about the celebrities who have won Emmys and all of that, the people like Oprah. And years ago, some of the talk show hosts, they were the ones who let the conversations go and just let people dig into the questions and really pay attention and know that, okay, we went off script, but this was really interesting about how they did yoga in the rainforest for a week and lived with the natives. You would have missed that if you stuck to the script, because they said, oh, I was on vacation in the rainforest. Okay, but you had this experience that was really, really cool that most people don't experience. Like, tell us about that.
Yeah.
And so that's where the interesting part comes in. And those are the people that win the award.
Yeah. And when you're communicating with people, interviewing or talking, you do let the conversation go to where it's going to naturally flow to. What I find is when I am focused on something in my personal life, that naturally flows out into the conversations that I have. So if you, Susan, are focused on something and you're working on some aspect of communication, it's really hot, this is really what you've been focusing on, it's going to come out naturally in the conversations that you have because that's where your attention has been.
Exactly. Yeah. People feel comfortable with that. They don't want to stick to a stale script.
Yeah.
They want it to be interesting and to say, wow, this is a really neat part of the conversation. And you trust yourself at that higher level to know that you can pull back when you need to and kind of bridge and guide the conversation back gently to stay on track with the topic, but to allow it at the same time to have that balance and say, you know, this is a really neat anecdote or story.
Yeah, Susan, I really appreciated our time being able to talk today. I know we had a previous interview about a year and a half ago. And I also know earlier today we had some snafus in getting the right technology, getting on here. But I think the conversation has unfolded beautifully, and I really do appreciate you coming back on the podcast.
I appreciate the time. A lovely conversation.
So if someone is interested in your communication programs or they want to get in contact with you, what's the best way for them to do that?
Yeah, we run, as you can probably see in the background, our top tier communicator program, and it's online. It's 3 days. It's specifically for AEC, talking about the mindset, the leadership, the questions and answers, the listening, the networking and curiosity and all of that leadership. So they can go on to aecamplify.com. And at the top is an orange bar, which takes you to the page for top tier communicator. And there's classes running throughout the year. So it's every month we do one class and it's live online. So it's aecamplify.com is the best way to reach me.
All right. Susan, thank you, and I appreciate your time. I'm going to end this podcast episode like I end everyone. Many people know what to do. Fewer people know how to do it. And there's a select group of people that actually follow through and do it. Susan, I want to thank you for being part of that select few.
Thank you, James. Appreciate the opportunity.